WTAW News Time, 4 minutes after 8. The temperature is 53. Scott, after the news, talk to you about a text I received about your showering study.
I look forward to it.
All righty. On to the news presented by Berkshire Hathaway, Home Services Caliber Realty, formerly BCR Realtors. Learn more at bhhscaliber.com. I'm Bill Oliver. What was supposed to be a two-hour meeting went 3.5 hours yesterday for the College Station School Board. The board voted unanimously to set new high school boundaries after a 5-2 vote not to extend grandfathering to this year's eighth graders. Mike Nugent, one of two board members supporting grandfathering of eighth graders.
We're talking 58 kids difference. And if we're saying that if we go to bond in 2021, theoretically, committee, everybody recommends that. If a bond's not going to pass because there's room for, I'm not seeing capacity for 400 to 500 at Consult. It could be. I mean, but would a bond pass for with 350 to 450 capacity? It's probably not going to pass then either.
Michael Wesson among those voting not to grandfather eighth graders.
A lot of the things that we have put in place for the middle schools comes to fruition next year. And the hope is that those ties are not quite as strong to the high school starting next year. And we did that to avoid this very issue as we move forward. So I think it's an important thing to keep in mind.
Changes will start in the 2019-2020 school year. The new map's online at WTAW.com. Later this hour, we'll hear comments from Superintendent Clark Ely. Bryan Broadcasting Stations, including WTAW, invite you to record your condolences to the family of Barbara Bush. The phone number to record your message, 979-695-3206. That's 979-695-3206. WTAW to broadcast tomorrow's funeral service. Covers beginning shortly around 11, give or take a couple minutes depending on when the services begin. Tomorrow, also Aggie Muster Day in at Reed Arena. The Association of Former Students reports Barbara Bush's name will be called, although they'll be waiting for confirmation from the family whether they would like for her to be included this year or next year. The Brazos County A&M Club reports Mrs. Bush's name will be called as part of their roll call and candle ceremony tomorrow. Texas A&M Police Department this week issued a tweet warning about a scam using an FBI phone number targeting college students.
Student loans, it may be for delinquent taxes, parking fines, arrest warrants, and even our international students often get targeted with deportation and with, again, you know, failure to comply with tax laws or even, you know, threatening arrest for outdue traffic warrants or arrest warrants.
Lieutenant Alan Barone says one A&M student paid a scammer $19,500 because she was told she was not in compliance with the new scholarship law. Texas A&M's Veteran Resource and Support Centers launched a campaign to make sure graduates or veterans have caps and gowns at graduation. Center's Karen Allen thanked the Brazos Valley Cares organization and the donors who have made monetary contributions.
I noticed that some of our veterans were not participating in graduation, and 49% of our veterans here on campus are married or and have children. Their children are always going to come first when it comes down to spending money like $75 for the cap and gown.
Online donation site, BrazosValleyCares.org. Those who want to donate gowns can drop them off in the Veteran Resource and Support Center office in the A&M Coldus building. North of Kyle Field, Texas A&M's Hotel and Conference Center is nearing completion. The Kane parking garage has been open the better part of a year. And next to the garage, groundbreaking takes place next month on the new academic building. It's after the A&M Systems Board of Regents yesterday approved the 21st century classroom building, which will be built at the corner of Welburn Road and Old Main.
A covered area is provided for outdoor movies, as you can see between the round auditorium there and the rectangular block there. That will be used for that. And deference to the movies that used to be shown at the Grove, which this project is on that same site.
Systems Interim Facilities Director Pete Schmidt says the building addresses a need for large teaching areas. Completion of the $85 million building, weather permitting, is expected in May of 2020. Next step's been taken towards building College Station's third water tower. City Council at its last meeting approved a design contract that'll cost almost $1 million. Interim Water Services Director Alan Gibbs told the council the third tower, located off Rock Prairie Road near Baylor Scott & White Hospital, will take care of future needs as currently projected.
You know, I don't know if I know the estimated population, but it's looking at our build-out for as far as annexation and population densities for current comp plan. So it's this most likely will be the last tower.
The nearly $9 million tower will be College Station's first, located east of the freeway. A heads up, if you're headed to Houston on I-45, a large garbage truck flipped and caught fire this morning. It still closed all lanes of 45 in both directions at the Mount Houston Road exit that's north of FM 1960. WTAW News Time, 10 minutes after 8. The temperature is 54. News presented by Berkshire Hathaway, Home Services, Caliber Realty. More news at 8:30 or anytime online at WTAW.com. I'm Bill Oliver, Newstalk 1620 WTAW.
Getting investment advice from one of the richest men in the world would be awesome. Getting real estate advice from Berkshire Hathaway Home Services would also be awesome. BCR Realtors has joined Berkshire Hathaway Home Services as Berkshire Hathaway Home Services Caliber Realty, and we now have the resources of one of the top companies in the world. Learn more at bhhscaliber.com. Berkshire Hathaway Home Services Caliber Realty. Good to know.
How many smiles are in your bank account? How many laughs? How many hugs and shoulders to lean on? These are the special moments in life, the milestones, the heart-to-hearts that create the most lasting and cherished memories. How many lives have you touched? How many haven't you? It's never too late to accumulate the kind of capital that really matters. Because when you add it up, after all the years, is there anything that matters more? How will you be remembered?
For over six decades, Callaway Jones has served local families. The new Callaway Jones Funeral and Cremation Center is now open. Our modern, comfortable, and spacious facility provides innovative and memorable ways to honor loved ones you've lost. Visit CallawayJones.com.
Are you newly engaged, planning a wedding? You're in luck. The Spring 2018 issue of Brazos Valley Bride is hot off the press and is the ultimate resource for brides-to-be. Flip through 148 pages of local content from local professionals who can help you plan the most beautiful day of your life. Find the Brazos Valley Bride Spring 2018 issue at local businesses all across the Brazos Valley or visit BrazosValleyBride.com to access our digital edition anytime, anywhere. That's BrazosValleyBride.com.
Producer Saturday classes are back in session in the Ag Center by the fireplace. Each week from 10 to 11 a.m., experts will cover a variety of topics for the ag producer and the home gardener. Producer Saturday classes, they're educational and they're free. This Saturday, April 21st, learn about weed control in pastures. Controlling pasture weeds is one of the best ways to increase forage production for your livestock. And plant identification, product selection, timing and methods and rates of application are all critically important. Come learn about it this week at Producers. Producers, on Texas Avenue in Bryan, just north of 21.
Good morning, Newstalk 1620 WTAW. It's 8:12. Time for some weather. It's brought to you by United Roofing for over 40 years. Locally owned United Roofing has been repairing leaks and replacing roofs damaged by high winds and hail. Let the United pros take care of your commercial and residential roof repair and replacement. Call 846-ROOF. Go to unitedroofingpros.com.
We'll have partly sunny skies today with high temperatures topping out in the lower 70s. Clouds move into the area tonight, low in the middle 50s. Scattered showers and thunderstorms developing on Saturday. High temperatures again in the lower 70s. Showers and thunderstorms continue Saturday night, tapering off late at night, low in the middle 50s, and becoming partly sunny and breezy on Sunday, high 70 to 75. I'm meteorologist Scott Kaplan, News Talk 1620 WTAW.
Okay. Got a text?
Yes, we did.
And it's
from the Citibank text line, 979-695-1620, where the Y in City stands for you.
Yeah.
Listener writes, I have dry skin. Showering too often dries my skin, which is miserable. I am allergic to many skin products, so use coconut oil instead of lotion. One can freshen strategically to avoid skin issues. Sure. Also, avoid antibacterial soap to spare the good bacteria.
Sure. Yeah, and for you folks with dry skin, hey, and coconut oil smells great, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So
smells like coconut.
That's exactly better than pineapples or bananas. Yeah. As they
reminds me of the beach.
That's right.
You just walk in, I start thinking of the beach.
Good point. That's true. Okay, so this is a reminder to all radio personalities to be as awesome as you can at all times.
Oh, yeah.
Because people love you and love what you do that you probably don't realize it. A woman died recently. and left $10 million to a radio station.
What?
Yeah.
To the station.
Uh-huh. Wow. Yeah, all of that is known about her is that her name was Suzanne, and she loved music. Well, Suzanne, good for you. I'm glad you did.
Yeah, it was given to a public radio station in Seattle.
Yeah, apparently she was loaded. The money went to 90.3 KEXP, an alternative public station. Okay, alternative in Seattle. That could be dang near anything.
That could be.
Supposedly, the woman did have family ties to the city, but did not live there. She had apparently given them money before. She told them she was planning to make a donation before she died, but she was young, and she didn't say how much it would be. According to the Seattle Times, most of the money will be placed in a long-term reserve.
If you'd like to make a donation, that's Zach with an H.
Yeah.
Taylor.
Hello.
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 Hello. Hello.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Can you hear us? Yeah. Well, we could do a two-way conversation then. That's just awesome. All right.
I just heard about dry skin. Dry skin, you have to use essential fatty acids, which are your omega-3, 6, and 9s, along with some EPA and DHAs.
Does that mean I have to shower with salmon? I mean, because that's
No. Okay. You intake it. And you want your capsules so that they've been filled with nitrogen and not oxygen, because oxygen oxidizes.
Where'd you learn this?
I like nutrition.
Okay, but I mean, do you sell these things? Are you hawking products here for me or what?
No, I'm not. Okay. No, EFAs, they were recommended now. You're allowed to say that they help.
Okay, so how much does all this stuff cost you? I mean, you know.
Well, how much is your health worth?
Oh, well, now don't give me that.
No, okay. You got to get them also so that they're 2 to 1. You have to have 2 omega-3s to omega-6s. They have to be, you know, you just can't go in a store and buy anything off the shelf because you don't know if it's right or not.
Okay. No, I understand that. And people do all the time, and that makes a lot of people a lot of money when it shouldn't necessarily. Okay, so, like, if I wanted to Google to learn about this, what would I Google?
Essential fatty acids.
Okay.
There's a lot of things about essential fatty acids.
Okay, we'll do that. Good. Thank you. I appreciate you calling. That was a lot of technical stuff.
Yeah.
And if people
She should be like in a commercial.
Yeah, yeah.
Like something that we would play.
That's why. Well, the first thing I ask her, was she hawking anything? Let me grab a call here. Hey.
We love you, and we've been listening to you a long time, but not that much. Well, we prefer to get stuff from y'all rather than give stuff away.
All right, but promise me this. If you win like a $150 million lottery, you know, you might give us some money. Not a lot.
Deal.
I mean, you know, a million or so. Cool. Thanks. All right.
I mean, we're giving out mosquito dunks. That's priceless.
Yeah, think about that. How many?
Hey, there's your question
that?
For James Benham.
What's
about
that?
The mosquito dunks.
Okay, what?
Well, just ask him about it.
Just about
some.
The skeeter dunks.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, we
all
got
right.
some.
The first caller, that lady, is very nice. I appreciate
yes.
her doing
well,
that.
And then back to that, she talked about oxygen not being as good as nitrogen.
Right.
The first thing that popped in my head, well, they say the same thing about filling up your tires with nitrogen instead of oxygen.
Well, putting a little nitrogen in might not be bad. I think they do that in the NASCAR races or something like that. Anyway.
I think they do that. I actually think they do that at a lot of tire places, too, because they'll have a...
Because they claim that nitrogen holds the air pressure better.
Yeah, like the little the air...
Yeah,
spigot thing, different colors. Or
all right. Okay, we need to move on because we have a special interview that we wouldn't normally do. James Benham, by the way, joins us after the news. But we did get a chance to talk to Dr. Clark Ely last night after the College Station School Board finished, and so he kind of expands a little bit beyond what we would normally be able to have time in the news to talk about. First, I'd like to ask you, are you surprised that the board took any action at all tonight?
As I said earlier, I think the board, based on the discussion at the last meeting, you could kind of start to see some of their thoughts and ideas start to crystallize. And I thought there was a chance that a decision could be reached tonight. By the same token, I thought it probably wouldn't go much past the Monday meeting, because I just thought that they were starting to gravitate both towards ideas regarding as to which alternate neighborhoods should be moved, and then what they were going to figure out what to do with the grandfathering, which I know we'll visit about.
So let's talk about the plan that they did come up with rezoning, which is 2B East Welburn Margraves. We've seen some maps, but can you kind of in a concise manner explain?
Sure, I'll try to do that. And yes, the best thing to do is to go online and look at this, so hopefully I won't misidentify a neighborhood. But basically, as you know, Scott, as you've been paying attention to this, we have a great deal of capacity still at A&M Consolidated High School, and we needed to be able to take advantage of that capacity so we could relieve the pressure that's at College Station High School. And so kids were going to have to, net kids were going to have to move from College Station High School to Consol. And so we actually have students moving from Consol zone to College Station High School zone, and then a larger number of kids moving from the College Station High School zone to the Consol zone. So let me talk about the kids from the northern part of the district. We looked to one of the issues, I think, with previous iterations of high school boundaries were that most of the multifamily housing resided in the A&M Consolidated zone. And so trying to make a more equal balance of that between the two high schools. So most of the plans had moving a larger portion of multifamily housing that you would see between Anderson Street and Texas Avenue, basically between George Bush and 2818, Harvey Mitchell Parkway. So if you think about that swath right there and the large number of kids that live in that area, so those kids would be rezoned to College Station High School. And then in the same token, we had to have a larger proportion non-low SES kids moving to Consol. And what the ultimate plan that was voted on this evening, which was, it wasn't named great, but it's a descriptive name. It was 2B, which is what we started on, and we added some groups to that, and I'll talk about what those are. So basically, if you're looking at a map of our 102 square miles of College Station ISD, it's taking kiddos who are in the southwestern portion, west of Welborn Road. So you're going all the way down to Saddle Creek, all the way down past Straub, all the way to the Brazos River, that southwestern portion of the district, which currently are zoned to College Station High School. They would be moved in 2019 to A&M Consolidated High School. That was one of the original 2B recommendations, and then what kind of got added in through the course of the board's work through boundary adjustment, through these workshops that you've seen and attended, is that some other neighborhoods were added to that. So if you move east of Welborn Road, FM 2154, those neighborhoods that are just east of there that dump out onto to Welborn Road. We're talking about Sendera, or Bentwood, Tuscany Trace, those types of folks. And even going a little bit farther north, going and capturing the neighborhood of Creek Meadows and Creek Meadows Estates. So that's right catty-corner to Greens Prairie Elementary School. That was what was added. That's the 2B plus, kind of east of Welborn Road and Creek Meadows. And then what I think the board spent, and as you saw, what the board spent most of their time discussing in the early part of the meeting was that they kind of crystallized around that concept of that particular change and whether or not to add an additional future growth area to the A&M Consolidated High School zone. Because they were not only were looking to balance multifamily housing, but to balance dense housing, in what we see really in the middle part of the district, to balance some of the larger estate style lots that you see in the southern part of the district when you look at Nantucket and Indian Lakes versus some of the ones off of Welborn Road, Duck Haven, Indian Lakes, Bentwood, Sendera, those folks, Saddle Creek, those folks. And so that's kind of what this plan did. And
that's
then
the Margaret's area. There's nobody in it now.
And then I think the question that the board was wrestling with is what to do with the Margraves area, because that's not going to bring any, it's not going to swing many kids. There's no kids out there right now. Mm-hmm. It's trees right now. But in 3 years from now, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years from now, it's projected to bring a healthy number of high school kids. And so in their mind, the best course of action to keep them in the College Station High School zone or to move that growth area in the A&M Consolidated High School zone. And I think, as you heard the conversation, their goal, it turned out, was to move currently growing areas into the Consol zone and take advantage of that capacity that is available there, and future growth areas, which, you know, obviously the Margraves track represents that.
Finally, grandfathering at question, were eighth graders, would they be able to move before they actually entered that high school for the first time? But the administration's view is a different view, and that was the one that the board eventually approved. Explain how those two are different.
Sure. So when we began this this boundary adjustment process, we looked at, the administration looked at, you know, what made the most sense. As I said in the meeting, there was some pressure to make this be implemented in 2018, and that was just too quick for the community, too quick for anybody, I think. And so we thought, you know, pretty quickly that, okay, 2019 as an implementation for the new high school boundaries made a lot of sense. And then we looked at, you know, the kids who could be affected. In our local policy, FC Local, and in previous iterations of high school boundary adjustment, we've never ever considered moving somebody who's moving into their senior or junior year in the year of implementation. It just seemed beyond the pale. Sure. And so that was our initial thought. Well, if the kids in 2019, when this is implemented, the rising seniors, the rising juniors, what to do about those folks who are going from their ninth grade to their 10th grade year in that year? Are we going to have them subject to be moving from one high school to the other? Well, what we discovered is if we did the work, which we ended up doing in the spring of 2018 before school was out, that kiddos who were in that particular boat, kiddos who would be sophomores in 2019 at implementation, which would be ninth graders next year or our current eighth graders, they would actually know which high school zone they would be ultimately zoned to, and they could make the choice to transfer ahead of time and get the opportunity to go to their high school for four straight years. So they could either take the choice of, hey, starting off at their currently zoned high school and moving between their ninth and 10th grade year, or since they know what the boundaries are going to be, they could transfer, they could jumpstart, they could, you know, proactively move. And we thought that was, well, it's a tough decision for a kiddo to make in the spring of their eighth grade year. It does give them some flexibility as to which route they wanted to go.
Thanks for the time.
Let's talk about what this does for bonding.
Sure. And so that discussion was held many months ago because we looked at the capacity that we have at College Station High School. And the capacity we have available, excuse me, at A&M Consolidated, and the overcapacity issues that we have right now at College Station High School, and discussed with the board our options, which was to go to a bond for phase two of College Station High School, or make use of the capacity that was available at Consol. And it's a very difficult process to go through a boundary adjustment, and this was very difficult on the community, certainly on the board members. They spent many sleepless nights. But as they looked at the entire community and what's best for the entire school district, it was hard to go to a community member, a taxpayer, whether they have kids in school or not, and say, we need you to come and support our schools and add on to the school when we have so many seats available at A&M Consolidated High School. So doing the action that happened tonight allows us to push the need for an additional phase two of College Station High School, which is at this time seats for an additional 600 kids. It pushes that need off a couple of years into the future. That allows us to do as well as to be able to pass on some tax reduction over the next 2 years. We think conservatively, over the next 2 years, we can pass along about 8 cents per $100 of valuation of tax relief to our community because of not going to the bond and utilizing the capacity that we have, the resources that we have here in the district. So we believe, based on our projections now, that we'd be considering a bond for phase two of College Station High School somewhere around November, fall of 2021, the 21 school year. And then that hopefully will push off the need for a third high school to hopefully 2024 or 2025. That's the goal that we were looking at in many of the different options that we brought forward. And most of those did that in some variation.
This is Today in Texas History.
On this day, April the 20th, 1928, Felix Robertson died in Waco. He was the only native-born Texan to serve as a general in the Confederate States Army during the American Civil War. He was classified as a general despite his temporary appointment being rejected by the Confederate Senate in February 1865. At the time of his death, he was the last surviving general of the Confederacy. Robertson was born in Washington on the Brazos to Mary Cummins and Jerome Robertson, who would also serve as a Confederate general. He attended Baylor University and went to West Point in 1857, but left before graduation to serve the Confederacy. Robertson was 79 years old. I bet you didn't know that.
That was Today in Texas History.
Amazon has dramatically changed our lives. There's no debate. But exactly how it's changed us, that's the question. Kim Command with your Friday Consumer Tech Update. Amazon's founder, Jeff Bezos, is the richest man in the world. One reason is Amazon Prime. Bezos announced this past week that there are now 100 million Amazon Prime members, each one paying $100 every year for just the privilege of buying from Amazon. That's $10 billion a year without selling anything. We marvel at Amazon's efficiency, at its millions of products for sale, the millions of people that it takes to get those products to your home. And yet reports are out that even with 100 million Prime members, the median annual salary for Amazon employees is just $28,446 a year. Solid income in some parts, very poor in others. Hourly, it comes to about $14 an hour, just a little bit higher than McDonald's workers. No judgments here, just the facts. I'm Kim Commando. The world of home security is a noisy place. There are so many different systems, each claiming to be the best. Hidden in all the confusing chatter are long-term contracts, expensive monthly fees, and then there's SimpliSafe, the security company with no long-term contract, no expensive fees, and no complex installation. This is why SimpliSafe is now the fastest-growing home security company in the country, protecting more than 2 million homes. And SimpliSafe is now even better with the all-new SimpliSafe system, with even more safeguards to protect against power outages, downed Wi-Fi, cut landlines, hammers, thugs, and everything in between. The all-new SimpliSafe is smaller, faster, and stronger than anything before. Virtually invisible, with powerful sensors so small you hardly notice them. But the bad guys will, and you still get the same low and honest price. 24/7 professional protection for your home and family for just $15 a month. Go to SimpliSafeKim.com right now to order your new system. That's SimpliSafeKim.com, SimpliSafeKim.com.
WTAW News Time, 28 minutes from 9. The temperature is 55. Check at the Brazos Valley Weather follows the news presented by Awards & More. Everyone needs their name on something, and Awards & More can put it there. I'm Bill Oliver. What was supposed to be a two-hour meeting went 3.5 hours yesterday for the College Station School Board, voting unanimously to set new high school boundaries and voting 5-2 not to extend grandfathering to this year's eighth graders. Michael Schaefer wanted to grandfather eighth graders following an experience his family went through in a prior rezoning.
I remember coming back from vacation one summer and she's crying because she didn't want to go to school. And I said, what? And she said, Daddy, I never made no friends last year. And what probably makes me feel, if we're going to get emotional, kind of what makes me feel bad is she put up with that a year and sucked it up and went to school every day. And so I think that's the heart I'm having right now.
Board President Jeff Harris voted against grandfathering eighth graders after expressing a concern of campus populations in 2021.
We're in the situation where we still have 400 to 500 empty seats at a high school, and we have to go for a bond. We're right back where we were last fall.
Changes will start in the 2019-2020 school year. The new map's online at WTAW.com. Another new building's coming to Texas A&M. The A&M System Board of Regents yesterday approved more construction north of Kyle Field. Replacing what was the Grove at the corner of Welborn Road and Old Main will be the 21st Century Classroom Building. Before the unanimous vote, Regent Tony Busby of Houston wanted to know the percentage of campus enrollment growth compared to how much money's being spent on new buildings.
Especially when back when we used to have individual presidents come up and talk to us about their, you know, the buildings they wanted to build, their individual capital plans. Many of them would talk about how important distance learning was and learning by computer, but yet we're still building more new buildings.
Construction begins next month, weather permitting. It'll open in May of 2020. College Station City Council approved a nearly $1 million contract at its last meeting to design the city's next water tower.
It's a 3 million gallon elevated water tower, so this will be our third elevated tower, and it's going to be located roughly there by Scott and White.
Interim Water Services Director Alan Gibbs telling the council the overall cost of the tower, the first located east of the freeway, is almost $9 million. In less than 2 weeks, a Facebook post went viral to provide caps and gowns for veterans graduating Texas A&M who could not afford them.
So many people, I think it struck a chord with them that this is something that we want veterans to finish. We want them to have the whole experience, and this is the final piece of it.
Karen Allen at A&M's Veteran Resource and Support Center says monetary donations can be made online at BrazosValleyCares.org. Those who want to donate gowns can drop them off in the Veteran Resource and Support Center office in the A&M Coldus building. Bryan Broadcasting Stations, including WTAW, invite you to record your condolences to the family of Barbara Bush. Phone number to record your message, 979-695-3206. That's 979-695-3206. WTAW will broadcast tomorrow's funeral service, coverage beginning around 11. WTAW News Time, 25 minutes from 9. The temperature is 55. Text us your news tips, photos, and videos to 979-695-1620. News presented by Awards and More. More local news at noon or anytime online at WTAW.com. I'm Bill Oliver, News Talk 1620, WTAW.
Awards and More should be your first stop for plaques, trophies, and custom awards. Whether you're promoting your business or getting a trophy for your little leaguer, Awards and More will custom design just the right product for you. Awards and More has t-shirts, printed promotional products, custom engraving, and embroidery. Call 696-3886 or go to awardsandmoreinc.com. Everyone needs their name on something, and Awards and More will put it there. Awards and More, 3518 South Texas Avenue in Bryan.
You put your mower through a lot. All that back and forth on all those acres can add up to thousands of miles. Gravely mowers are built for all-day performance, helping you get the job done season after season. And right now, you can get 0% financing on all Gravely zero-turn mowers. Head to ASAP Equipment at 730 Peach Creek Cutoff Road today. ASAP Equipment, your local independent Gravely dealer. Hurry, at 0% financing, these mowers won't last long. Gravely, built to mow the distance.
836 News Talk 1620 WTAW. Let's check some weather. It's brought to you this morning by Ground Shuttle. They offer frequent and reliable luxury shuttles between Bryan College Station and Houston. And now service to the Austin Airport as well. Reserve your Houston or Austin commute at groundshuttle.com. Let them do the driving. Hear your numbers.
We'll have partly sunny skies today with high temperatures topping out in the lower 70s. Clouds move into the area tonight, low in the middle 50s. Scattered showers and thunderstorms developing on Saturday. High temperatures again in the lower 70s. Showers and thunderstorms continue Saturday night, tapering off late at night, low in the middle 50s, and becoming partly sunny and breezy on Sunday, high 70 to 75. I'm meteorologist Scott Kaplan, News Talk 1620 WTAW.
Friday, visit with the folks from City College Station. Jay Sokol said, well, I'm not coming up there. Colin Killian said, I'm not coming up there. Benham's going to be there. I'm not going to be there.
Yeah, they don't want to be around me.
James Benham joins us this morning. How are you today?
Howdy. Doing outstanding.
You know, we got some mosquito dunks from your city. I want to thank them for that. We're giving mosquito dunks away this year. Do you use mosquito dunks?
Oh, absolutely. You need them.
Yeah, you really do.
Any kind of standing water, man. You got to watch out for those.
I think you need to get them embossed with the City of College Station logo next year.
That'd be epic.
I think it would probably be good. Hey, the other thing I wanted to at least get you to chat about for a minute is... of course, the Grove itself was torn down in 2003, and you're an Aggie, you're in the Corps. What are your memories of the Grove?
You know, fond ones. Back in the day, which was a Thursday in this case, we would go to the Grove for Grove Yell.
Yeah.
And I was in the Corps from 97 to 01. I was a proud member of Company C2.
Okay.
And we would always go, and it was before away games. And so we'd get the whole Corps together. And we'd head down. Now, this was open to the whole campus, but not a lot of non-Corps members would go to Grove Yell.
Right.
We would go to the Grove. We'd have a yell practice. I mean, there were concerts there. They would have, back in the day, they'd have movies there. And
sure.
It was a fun venue. Yeah. It was an outdoor amphitheater. We really didn't have anything like it. You know, other campuses like LSU has an outdoor Greek theater, and they have an amphitheater. There's a lot of other SEC schools that have beautiful outdoor venues.
And of course, the Grove means something completely different in Oxford.
Oh my gosh, does it? Yeah, yeah. They You're going to see chandeliers and tents and, the Grove there. It's a different deal, but I had a lot of good memories. It's tough to see it go.
Yeah, it's good.
They said they're going to play movies there in memory of it. It's just not the same, but that's okay.
Well, that's fine. And I said this morning, because I probably saw 50 movies there. Growing up, you'd ride your bike over. I lived over on Suffolk, so it wasn't far away. And I'd drive over there, and I thought it was a nickel. A guy told me it was free, and it may have been. It may have been free to go in and watch movies.
You.
Yeah, exactly. So that was kind of fun. All right, well, let's turn to the city business a little bit. You got, about a year left, huh?
No. Well, 6 months.
Oh, okay. Well, you got a quick list you're going to have to go through. What's on the top of your list? What mark do you want to leave here that you haven't left yet?
No, I'm a business owner. I'm a technologist. I'm an Aggie. Those are my priorities when it comes to politics, too, is just to make sure that it's a good place to employ people. It's amazing. I sell in about 8 countries, and I operate in 3. And I get to travel all over the world and see some interesting places. And people around the world have really common needs. They want a job. They want a safe house. And they want a good education for their children. And they want to have food on the table at night. It's pretty universal. And so one of the best ways we can make sure we've got a healthy city is that we got good jobs. Good jobs people want. And so We've worked really hard over the last several years to make this an affordable place to live, an affordable place to run a business, and a place where it's not impossible to get your business off the ground, and not impossible. It's actually fairly manageable to get your business off the ground. And so I feel like we've passed a lot of that. The other part of our responsibility on city council, we really have, I think we kind of forget this sometimes, we have the dual responsibilities. We have a responsibility to the citizens to make sure that that they have a safe place to live, that they've got a good place to work, and they've got good way to get there, transportation. But we also have a responsibility to the 900-plus staff in the city of College Station. We're their board of directors, and I think we kind of we forget about that sometimes just because of how often we have to deal with citizen issues. But there's a lot of needs a 900-person, $350 million budget organization has. And so at the council retreat this year, we definitely spent a lot of time talking about our facility needs and future facility needs. And as you saw, we voted to move forward with a new city hall. We voted to get going with the final design of the police station. These are important infrastructure projects that will be necessary for the growth of the city. And the ability for our staff to get their job done. If our staff can't get their job done, then the citizens notice in a big way. And so my main priority is to make sure that those projects continue and that by November, we've got them well on the way to getting either going or completed.
Mesa Verde just opened up earlier this week. That's going to change traffic patterns in the southern part of the county. It is the latest in what will be a string of situations where the city and the county are going to be butting up against each other. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, this is becoming an urban county, much to the chagrin of many people, right? It's I know that's difficult for some to imagine that probably the whole county will be city in the next 50 years. I just can't imagine it not being with the size. This county is not a very large county,
right.
And so it's going to change. In Nancy Berry's district, she has 0 miles of county road, and of course in Steve Aldrich's, he has plenty for now, but eventually you're going to have much larger cities unless the annexation rules change. So I'm proud of County Judge Dwayne Peters and continuing. And connecting Mesa Verde to Highway 6. It was the plan all along. It was designed that way. No matter what anyone says about that street, it was supposed to always connect to Highway 6. Right. And so we're going to have to continue to connect streets to other streets and recognize that even in the quote-unquote rural parts of Brazos County, you're getting some neighborhoods with some fairly large density that are going to have traffic issues. This is why you have to. This debate on annexation is tough. I'm a libertarian, conservative. Live and let live. Don't tax me too much. Stay out of my house. That's kind of my political basis. I'm not a huge fan of people telling them people what to do, or telling them what they have to pay, or renting my land from the government. But you know, when you look at the needs, if you don't expand a city, what you end up with is a bunch of people, you know, utilizing those roads that don't pay any taxes to mm-hmm. utilize them because you don't have a fee-based road system. And they also end up consuming city services that we essentially have to extend.
College Station has it to a greater extent because you have students who come in here who basically are not. Well,
they are taxpayers. Yes, they are.
Well, yeah. Indirectly.
No, I would love to have this.
Yeah, okay.
With you. Because they do. They anybody who says a renter is not a taxpayer.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying you got an infrastructure that is being used by a group of people that are not paying their fair share, if you will.
I don't agree with that either. Yeah, okay, let's put it this way. A student's paying $600 a bedroom per month. A good share of that, you know, let's say $50 of that is going to pay their share of the property tax in that building. So every renter pays property tax. They pay it through their rent. Every homeowner pays property tax. They pay it through either their escrow, if they escrow it through their mortgage, or they pay it directly. So everybody pays property tax one way or the other. They all pay it except for students, people that live on campus, because then property tax is not paid on that. So you have to exclude those who live on campus because they don't pay property tax. But the vast majority of students do pay property tax, and of course they pay a good deal, or their parents pay a good pay a good deal of sales tax. Right. And so I don't think that's exactly fair.
All right, James Benham here with us this morning. In an interview with Bill Oliver earlier this week, the mayor said maybe the terms on city council is too short. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. Here's the problem. My father was a city councilman in Baton Rouge. My great-grandfather was a city councilman in Mooresville, Indiana. And the universal in our family with city council is that you kind of don't figure out what's going on until about halfway through your second term. Just in general, it takes a while to figure things out. You got a $350 million organization. You have 117,000 citizens. There's a lot of moving parts to a city. And the other really big challenge is when you have an election every year, you're constantly changing the dynamic of the political body, and the citizens get worn out voting, mm-hmm. and they just don't show up. We have an abysmally pathetic turnout rate, and it's really embarrassing how few people vote, especially how few conservatives vote. For all my fellow conservatives out there, it is embarrassing how few conservatives vote in local elections. I almost think it's a byproduct of being a conservative because you don't like the government, and so you're just not very motivated to go vote because you don't even like thinking about it. And so this is the challenge. You have low turnout, you have too many elections, you have too much turnover, and then the city staff is constantly having to readjust to a new council makeup, and they're always having to train somebody. When my dad was on city council in Baton Rouge, they had the whole council go up every 4 years at the same time.
Oh, my.
Now, you can't do that in an at-large city because it would just be too much. They did it because it was single member districts. Mm-hmm. And so what I think is much more logical and more cost effective, because I do like saving money, Scott, is to just move to have an election every other year on the same year that you have state and federal elections. It's much cheaper from election cost. It's much more efficient. You're going to get much higher number of people. And then all you got to do is convince them to actually do a little bit of research on the city campaigns. There's an opposing thought that you shouldn't have local campaigns when there's state and federal because they don't have time to research it. I don't agree with that at all, because a ton of other states do it and they do a good job. You just got to educate people. That way people know there's just one set of elections. And so I think it would make a lot of sense just to lengthen the terms to 4 years instead of three. Keep the number of terms two terms, but have them four-year terms, so the citizens aren't having to go vote as much. We're not having to pay for so many dang elections. The staff has 2 years to adjust to a city council, and your city council members can get a little bit more time to understand. In that case, if they get reelected, they'll probably know what's going on after about 4 years and be able to be effective, right? And that's the really big challenge as a city council member is, very few city council members went to school for political science or got their master's in public administration. So we're having to figure things out.
Finally today, you'll probably still be on council as you're well down the road to getting a new city manager. What are the attributes you want to see?
You know, I look for someone who is a courageous leader and willing to set a course. Obviously, they set the course that council gives them parameters to set. But if you compare it to a private company, the council's the board of directors and the city manager's the CEO. So it's kind of an important job. It's a really important job. I miss Kelly Templin. He's great. I'm really excited that he's running Rellis. I think he's going to do a phenomenal job there. But I'll look for the same characteristics I did when we did the search for Kelly Templin, and that is someone who understands people, understands leadership. I mean, most importantly, understands fundamental rules of building teams. You know, Pat Lencioni's Five Dysfunctions of a Team, probably one of the best book leaders can read, is, you know, make sure you have an environment of trust, that you really drive accountability through the organization and hold city employees accountable the same way a private company owner would hold their employees accountable. You know, that's really what I look for, is really a great leader of people who can drive that down, drive trust in the organization, and hold people accountable for their results. We've got amazing city staff, and they crave good leadership. They crave consistent, reliable leadership that actually understands what motivates people, what motivates teams, and what drives an environment in our company, what we call open, honest, and vulnerable communication, which is something that is sorely lacking in most political environments. Mm, and so that, I think that's the most important thing we could look at with a city manager.
Okay, finally, 1 minute inside James Benham's head. What do you want to talk about we didn't talk about?
Well, today is, Barbara Bush. I think it, when I was a freshman, 1997 in the Corps, the Bush Library opened up. And I got to go as a cadet, as a fish in the Corps. One of the first things I got to go do was to march over to the Bush Library and to salute all the living presidents. I think we had five at the yep. time. And a lot of us got to meet First Lady Bush on numerous occasions, and she was just a class act.
Yep.
For conservatives, they exemplified all the values that we hold dear. They were, and she will be sorely missed.
Sure.
You know, she read books to people here in town, that grew up in schools. I mean, I think that's probably what's on my heart today. As for city council, I would just love to see good conservatives stepping up and running for city council. I'd love to see good conservatives actually turning out and voting for city council. This is we need conservative leadership for the city. That will respect the tax dollar, that will respect individual property rights, owners' property rights, that will respect neighborhoods, that will come in and talk to them and understand their needs. And I think the message for the citizens out there is that just because somebody doesn't agree with you doesn't mean they're not listening, you know, and you have to listen, and then you have to be brave enough to make the best decision that you need to make. And that is probably the hardest lesson I've had to learn in council, is that sometimes you have to make people not so happy by voting your conscience. That's what Nancy Berry told me to do. When I got elected, she said, "Come in, do your research, vote your conscience, and don't let anybody pressure you." And so that's my hope. That's what's on my heart. I hope that as the elections roll around this fall, that people will come and vote, that people will run for office. And today I hope that we remember one of the most amazing women that's been here in the United States of America. Also, hope that everybody out there remembers that tomorrow's muster and yep. that you'll go.
That's important too. Thanks a lot, James Benham, here from the City of College
Thanks.
Station. Visit with the folks from City of College Station on Fridays.
Dayhill, a Xerox company, is the leader in business solutions for over 20 years. We're more than just copiers. Let the Dayhill team help you create document and content management in a safe and secure environment that will store and retrieve your important data quickly. Whether you're looking for copy equipment, managed print services, IT solutions, or fax and scan services, let the local Dayhill sales team help you find the perfect solution with our Dayhill 360 assessment. Local service, local sales, local knowledge is Dayhill's customer service commitment to you. Contact Dayhill locally today, 774-2200 or at dayhill.com.
Normandy Tractor and Implement Company, winner of the Kubota Elite Certified Dealer Award and Best of the Brazos Valley for 17 straight years. Home of the Kubota tractors, ATVs, RTVs, zero-turn lawnmowers, and implements for the farm and ranch.
Celebrate spring with great package deals. For a limited time, get the number one selling compact tractor in Texas, the new Kubota L2501F 24.8 horsepower, along with the 3-point quick hitch and a 5-foot box blade for only $10,599 cash price. Or with financing less than $114 per month, upgrade to a 4-wheel drive and get monthly payments of only $129 per month. Remember, Vernon and the boys at Normandy Tractor are the best when it comes to customer service and building your own Kubota package deal. Get zero money down, 0% financing at Normandy Tractor on most Kubota tractors and lawn equipment. Normandy Tractor at Highway 39 at OSR in Normandy, online normandytractor.com. Remember, for the largest selection and best prices on all your Kubota tractor and utility vehicle needs, nobody beats Normandy Tractor. Nobody.
Hi, I'm Gabriel Garcia, candidate for Brazos County District Clerk. As district clerk, my primary responsibility will be service to the courts. I will be a full-time district clerk, working daily with the courts to improve the current processes and ensure the district clerk's office is doing all of its duties assigned by law. Vote for me, Gabriel Garcia, for Brazos County District Clerk in the primary runoff elections on May 22nd.
Paid for by Gabriel Garcia campaign, Pat Sedcheck, Treasurer.
About 4 minutes till general manager Ben
Downs. Yeah. Yes.
So
my mom, like I said, did not say it aloud
she
before
didn't.
She
really
named
did.
Me.
Yeah. So anyway, so we have about 3 minutes left.
No, I specifically show we have 4 minutes and 15 seconds.
Okay,
mark.
You're right. Yeah. Okay.
So, I mean, I've got all kinds of
appreciate
time
the countdown. Appreciate
sure.
the countdown clock so we can hit it.
Well, yeah. That way I have it here handy.
Yeah.
So, anyhow, we have many calls on our reminiscence line.
Yeah, how's that work?
It's going pretty well. Just dial 695-3206, and you can either leave a condolence message for the Bush family or else you can tell us something you remember about Barbara Bush. You can be anonymous, or you can leave your name, whichever you like. But we'll be taking those off the recording a little bit later this morning and starting with the first batch to put them on the air. There is one interesting thing. You know, they ask the ladies to wear blue and to wear their pearls.
Mm-hmm.
And as we would imagine, not a lot of college kids necessarily have pearls yet.
Right.
So Candy 95 next door was able to find a supplier for plastic pearls.
Oh, fun.
Oh, cool.
So we have about 500 sets of plastic pearls that
cool.
we were going to distribute along the motorcade route tomorrow.
Okay.
So that young women who don't have something to go along with that, they'll be able to fit in and show their respect for the First Lady.
And again, you can go up on the transportation side at the university and they can show the streets that are going to be closed, when they're going to be closed, because you've got that. You've got muster also. It's
everything's going to be closed tomorrow. Just thought I'd let you know, including Earth Day.
Yeah, we're closing the Earth.
No more Earth Day. Sorry.
But we found out that's a great way to meet somebody.
Earth Day? I missed that bit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, but the idea that you're there and, oh, there's somebody over there, and she likes the environment, too. She's an earthy.
See.
So
it's like going to a puppy adoption.
Yeah. No, nothing's as good as going to a puppy adoption.
No.
Yeah. So,
oh, how cute. You know, that's where you want to start.
That's right.
If you can start with, oh, my goodness, how cute is that? Then you've got something going there. Just a suggestion, Zach.
Time is revealing their annual list of the 100 most influential people.
Oh, where did we rank this time?
Well, Ryan Coogler is on there.
Oh, thank goodness.
You know who that is?
What a terrible oversight over in the past few years.
He's the director of Black Panther.
Oh.
Now, how is he one of the most influential people? How does that work?
It's an influential movie.
Based on the results of the movie.
I guess
yeah,
so.
I don't
it's the first
know.
Black superhero, guys.
He's a black superhero and all that, but I don't know that you can by having a guy who's super powered and lives in a secret kingdom, I'm not sure that's
Sean
influencing
Hannity.
A lot of
Sean Hannity
people.
Made it. Okay.
Oh, wow.
Cardi B.
The last surviving conservative on Fox.
Yeah, really. Well, and but, you know, the rules don't apply to him. You've seen that, right?
Yeah,
you saw
I've
that
seen
article.
It. Yeah.
Let me see. I don't see a Kardashian here, but that doesn't mean there isn't one.
No, they're closing the Dash stores.
Ooh, did you guys do the story about how upset the rest of Meghan Markle's family is that no one's invited?
No.
Mom and dad and nobody else?
Wow.
Ooh. Yeah, no bros, no sisters.
How does
none
that
of
work?
The,
well, you know,
not,
she's...
Not any cousins, nobody.
Well, she's not going to have to go have Thanksgiving dinner there anymore, so it doesn't matter whether they like her or
ooh,
not, yeah, right?
They are upset. They
see
believe
y'all
she has
losers
take,
later.
She that has is... taken on airs, is
oh,
what they're
no,
saying.
Oh, no, no, she'll come back and visit. There's no doubt about that.
I doubt that yeah, that's going to happen. Won't. No,
well,
no, no.
Well, that's all right. Just remember, the IRS got, will extract their pound of flesh.
She's got a castle now. She doesn't have to come back anywhere.
When was the last time she did her own laundry?
I bet it's been a while.
You ever think about that? Yeah, yep. It probably has. Okay. Well, all right. Well, we're going to, we got 25 seconds.
I was going to say, we are going to carry
yes.
First Lady Bush's funeral service tomorrow at 11 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So if you would like to listen in, it's tomorrow at 11 o'clock right here on 1620.
There you go. O'Brien Broadcasting Station, WTAW College Station, Brian.